Brother Aaron, I appreciate those words that you shared. And as we look into the message tonight, you can't help but just going back to God's faithfulness. So as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of faithfulness, we can't help but look at God's faithfulness. I'd like to greet each one of you in Jesus' name. It is good to be here with you all. We are from, my wife and I, and our family is from Belleville, about 40 minutes south of State College, in case you don't know where that is. Our church is in Huntingdon. We live on the upper end of what we call the Big Valley, so we will go up around to Huntingdon, and our church is across the mountain in Huntingdon County at Shavers Creek Christian Fellowship, and I bring you greetings from there as well. And we welcome each one of you. If you're ever traveling, you're in the, we'd love to have you. We have four children, and we brought them all along this weekend, and we've been enjoying. We got to meet some of you last evening, and this weekend we've had, it's been a good weekend as we spent time together today down at Kane with Kyle. Kyle and I met at SMBI for Ministers Week. I think it was 4 years ago. Am I right, Kyle? I don't know, but every year since we've overlapped a little bit. And also Glenn, I met Glenn there. So I know a few of you, and actually Kevin as well last year, so I feel like I know a few of you all. So I was asked back at the beginning of the year to come here, and Kyle mentioned to bring a message on faithfulness, and we hadn't talked about it since until must have been this morning or last night, and then I was hoping that was still the topic or the message for this evening, because that's what I prepared. It was a stormy night in Birmingham, England, and Hudson Taylor was to speak at a meeting at the Severn Street classroom. His hostess assured him that nobody would attend on such a stormy night. But Taylor insisted on going. "I must go, even if there is no one but the doorkeeper." Less than a dozen people showed up. But the meeting was marked and with unusual spiritual power. Half of the present either became missionaries or gave their children as missionaries, and the rest were faithful supporters of the China Inland Mission for years to come. So as we think about faithfulness, I entitled the message, Faithful and God's Calling on Our Lives. And so obviously we have the theme verse, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness, which we want to focus on, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But the title comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, that says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And this fruit that we're talking about is, it's in the singular. It doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. It says fruit of the Spirit. I think you all probably have been looking at this fruit and know that, you know, it is love kind of encompasses all of it. It's basically love in action, the rest of this fruit that it's talking about. So it's all kind of, it's love really is what it is. But here, thinking about faithfulness, it's the idea that the Spirit of God works faithful in us, both to God and to people. It is characteristic of the man who is reliable, or someone that you can depend on. His word is good. He'll do what is required. In this verse, faith or faithfulness is the fruit in a Christian believer's life flowing from God's Spirit living in us. It's not something that we kind of muster up ourselves, but it is the Holy Spirit or God's Spirit living in us, through us, is where is the faithfulness that we're talking about, or the faith that we're talking about tonight. Now, faith is also listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as a gift. So that's also can be where it talks about the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9. It says, "To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit." So here we're talking about it as from the Holy Spirit and as a fruit. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Something to think about. If I would say that I'm faithful to my wife 90% of the time. Would I be faithful? 90%, that's most of the time. But that's not faithful. It's not. So if I'm faithful to God 90% of the time, am I faithful? It's really no difference. So what we're talking about is 100% tonight. It's not 98 or 95 or 90. It is 100%. God is calling us to be faithful to Him and to what He has called us to do. As husbands, as wives, parents, teachers, employers, employees, He's calling us to be faithful. And this evening, as we look at this, we're going to look at a few examples of people who are faithful in the Bible, and also we'll look a little bit at God's faithfulness, which Brother Aaron has already shared about a little bit. But just some examples of faithfulness. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, we call it the faith chapter. Verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." And I'd like to turn to, as we look at this story a little bit, we're going to look into Genesis chapter 12, but he didn't know where he was going. And in this story, we can see God's faithfulness to Abraham, and also we can see Abraham's faithfulness to what God called him to do. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, and I might read the first 9 verses of Genesis chapter 12. Also, just as we think about this, Hebrews talked about Abraham. Also, in Romans, it talks about Abraham. He's called the father of faith. So he has some good example for us. Verse 1 of chapter 12. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, and unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south." God told Abraham to leave his country, to leave his family, his father's house, and travel to an unfamiliar land, a place that God would show him. And then God promised Abram in verse 2, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So was God faithful to that promise that he made to Abram? He was, but it took a long time. Does anyone know how many years it was till Abram had a son? How many years from, approximate years from this time when God promised till he had a son? It was long enough that we probably would have started to doubt, I think. It was about 25 years that he waited for that promise. And as he went to that land, he was faithful. He continued on, and I think he believed that promise. There's also a few verses in Deuteronomy, and I don't think I'm going to turn to them, that talks about God's faithfulness and how that the promise that he made. But it's Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 through 9. But just the promise there says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." And just echoing what Aaron mentioned tonight, when God is totally trustworthy in faith, he's perfectly faithful. And in him, his example, we can see he can't help but be faithful, because that's who he is, perfectly faithful. I'm going to read a few verses from Joshua as well. Joshua chapter 21, verse 43 to 45. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. So it's just talking about how that when God promised, when he made the covenant with Israel, that it all came to pass, and that he was perfectly faithful. God proved faithful in every promise he had given Israel. Often in our lives, we think that God is moving maybe too slow, or maybe he isn't moving at all. But his promise will be fulfilled according to his time, and not according to what we think is in our timeline. Often if we think about God's faithfulness, it does us good to think back and remember how God has been faithful in the past, and how easily we can forget, just like the children of Israel. They would forget how God delivered them, and that how he was faithful, and they would forget that, and they would fall back to their old ways. But just a few more examples of faithfulness. Noah was a man who faithfully continued to build the ark even when it had never rained. In Genesis chapter 6, you don't have to turn to that. There's just a few verses there. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So God asked him to build this ark. He didn't even know what rain was. He never saw a flood. He probably never saw a big boat like that either. But Noah was faithful. And verse 22 says that, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded. So did he. So he followed God's instructions. He was faithful to the wood that he used, and the pitch that he put on the outside of the ark. Every part of that, he was obedient and faithful to it. And I'm sure that building an ark was not the popular thing to do, or it wasn't convenient or easy. It was something that he devoted his life to that, and we can see a good example of faithfulness in his life. Someone else I thought about in the Old Testament was Nehemiah. He was a man with courage and a vision, even when people made fun of him, when they mocked him. And his task that he was tasked to do was was daunting. But in verse 20 of Nehemiah chapter 2, the God of heaven himself will prosper us, he said. This is Nehemiah saying. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. We'll continue. So he was being faithful to what God called him to do. Even when the people around him mocked him and didn't want the work to continue. And I'm sure he was dealing with some of his workers weren't all that. They weren't, the best builders. They weren't the most motivated, but Nehemiah was there to motivate them, and he was faithful and as they rebuilt the temple and the city. The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Another person that I couldn't help but think about was Job. Job was a man whose life was tested beyond what we think is humanly possible. We cannot imagine what Job went through and why. Why did God allow all these things to happen? But in verse 22 of chapter 1, it says that in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. He was faithful in his time of trials, faithful through all of it. Another person we can think about is Joseph. Joseph was a man completely committed to the Lord, even in times of betrayal by his own brothers, and just the injustice that he faced, or he was for standing up for what was right. He went to jail for doing the right thing when his Potiphar's wife tempted him and tried to get him to fall. He did the right thing for his, and he went to jail for it. He was faithful. Faithful to what God asked him to do, or what was right. And the kind of the my favorite verse in, about the story of Joseph is obviously Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. It says, "As for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about this day to save many people alive." So in the end, we know the story, how that because of Joseph, and they saved up all the grain, and they had the 7 years of plenty, and then the 7 years of famine, and because of him, the people got, he was faithful and saved many people because of his obedience and his faithfulness. Esther was a woman who was faithful for her God and for her people. She boldly positioned the king. And in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, "And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" So she went in boldly and petitioned the king and was faithful and her calling on her life for such a time that she was in. Daniel, we think of Daniel. He kept his integrity. He obeyed his God and kept on praying to the God of heaven in a foreign land and against what the king commanded. I'm going to just turn to Daniel chapter. Actually, I have it here. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his window open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before the God, as was his custom since early days." And the thing that stood out to me here is not only was Daniel faithful here, but I think he had some faithful and godly parents as well. If you notice here, it says that he prayed as was the custom since his early days. I think this went back to his childhood, and this was his parents being faithful and teaching him. And I was just encouraged by that as a father and as parents, that we can be faithful in teaching our children. And look, you know, look what happened here, Daniel. When the time came when he was in a country that he wasn't familiar with, and when it counted, he stood for what is right, and he prayed 3 times a day, just like he always did. God was able to use each of these people because of their faithful obedience. Can God use you? Are you faithful? And in ourselves, of our own strength, we aren't. We are not faithful. But the source of our faith is in Christ, flowing freely to us. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And Jesus, when he was on the earth, was looking for this kind of faith. He was looking for faith, and he noticed it when he saw it. And I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 8, and I'm going to read a few verses, just a story of the time that when Jesus mentioned, when he saw faith. Matthew chapter 8, and I'll read verse 5 through 10. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, and grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And this is Jesus' response. He says, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and saith unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So Jesus noticed this. Just say the word, faith like that. It must have been pretty rare because Jesus noticed it and he marveled. And it's no wonder that he said in Luke chapter 18, he says that when the Son of Man cometh, it's a question, will he find faith on the earth? Or we could say faithfulness. And we know the answer to that question, but will you be faithful? Will I be faithful? Will our children be faithful when he cometh, when the Son of Man cometh back? When faith is active, it affects all of life. We see ourselves as stewards entrusted with time, talents, means, and concern to be used on behalf of God and our fellow men. Again, when faith is active, or when we're faithful, it will affect our lives. It will affect all aspects of our lives. It will be our stewardship, how we raise our family, how we our talents, our means, are used on behalf of God and our fellow men. We are required to be faithful stewards of all that God has put at our disposal. And this is kind of the practical part of faith in action. As fathers, leaders in the home, can we stand for what is right like Daniel and Joseph? Have a vision for the future like Noah? Building an ark having never seen rain. As mothers, being faithful in the home. Oftentimes, I think mothers feel like their tasks may be large, and but they feel like they don't accomplish much. But faithful in that. Don't waste your time waiting and longing for large opportunities, which may never come, but faithfully handle the little things that are always claiming your attention. F.B. Meyer said that. As a youth, I see we have youth here tonight. That's good to see. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, in purity. So as a youth, you can be an example in faith, in faithfulness. Be faithful at your jobs, to whatever God has placed you. If you're a student, study to show thyself approved unto God. Be faithful in that. Faithful to the Great Commission for all of us. Making disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. We recently had someone at our church to give a presentation on some work that they were doing in Alaska. And the brother was talking about this making disciples. And he was saying that, you know, we often put the emphasis on going and making disciples, but here the emphasis is on making disciples. We're already going. We're somewhere. You're here at Bradford. We're back home in Huntington, Belleville. So we're going. Every day you're going to work, you're going to school, whatever you're doing. So the focus here is making disciples. Are you faithfully making disciples? And I've been blessed by spending a little bit of time with Kyle and his family and the church there at Kane. I believe they are making disciples, and they are, and that is, and you here as well, I think you're doing that. But that is, are we faithful in that? We often are unfaithful, but God still is gracious, generous, and good, because that's who he is. He is faithful. And in Lamentations chapter 3, we see God's mercies are new every morning, and then it says that great is thy faithfulness. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 tells us that Jesus is our merciful and faithful high priest. And then we have the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5 that I quoted at the beginning. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We're called to be a faithful follower of Jesus. And we are called as parents, as we, whatever your Bible studies with your small group, as you go to prison, as you, whatever it might be, God is faithful in that. There's just some more verses on the faithfulness of God. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, and above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So God is faithful in our lives and even in our temptations. I'm going to turn to 2 Timothy and read a few verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Then hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus. So here we have it again, in faith and in love. And it's through Jesus and it's through his Spirit. We can trust God for the future as well. His record is perfect. And even, you know, we think of as godly men that many of us know who have fell, who have not been faithful, but we know that God will always be faithful. That's because that's who he is. For 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish and keep you from evil? 2 Peter chapter 3. Turn to that as well, and if you'd like to, 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to read a few verses. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the work that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall melt, and the elements shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promises, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So, if we're faithful, we can look forward to this new heaven and this new earth. And I was thinking about my friend David. He is a retired prison chaplain who is constantly making disciples and reaching out to Huntington. And he retired from being a chaplain, but he still volunteers going to prison a lot, several times a week, and our paths overlap a little bit. But he sent me an email earlier this week, and he lives right in town, and he has a sign on his house, or right outside his house. And he said that he changed his sign, and he put on there, normal isn't coming back. Jesus is. Are you ready? So God, Jesus is coming back, and he's going to be faithful. And the question is, are we going to be faithful and to be ready for that time? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So just one more verse in closing. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, and this is my encouragement to you as you serve the Lord here in Bradford. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Just like to let those words with you, and let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer, and then I'll turn the time back to Brother Aaron. Heavenly Father, as we just come before you this evening, I just thank you for the faithfulness that you have shown to us. I thank you for the goodness that you have showed each one of us, and for your Son Jesus that you sent for us, and for the blood that was shed upon Calvary. And I thank you for the many examples that you have given us in the scripture of men who live faithful lives. And as we think about those men, and as we think about our lives and what you have called us to do, I pray that you would help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful in our homes as leaders in the church, as teachers, as students, wherever you have put us, Lord, wherever you have called us, help us to be faithful stewards as well. I just pray that we could be faithful. When you come back, that you would find faith on the earth, and that we could be faithful. So we just commit this service into your hand, and thank you for your Holy Spirit and your presence in our midst this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.